This podcast is supported by The RealReal. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The RealReal.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The RealReal? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The RealReal than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The RealReal. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
Welcome to our podcast, The Screwtape Letters, Confronting Evil in Our Time. I'm Ian Faith.
And I'm Galen Belinsky. In each episode, we will unpack one of C.S. Lewis's 31 letters and illuminate the nefarious schemes that the devil and his minions play in our world today.
Understanding how the demonic forces seek to separate us from God helps us to expose them,
reject them, and pursue Jesus as the center of our lives.
Subscribe and join us and our guests on this journey, The Screwtape Letters. So welcome to our introduction to the Screwtape Letters Confronting Evil in Our Time podcast. My name's Ian Faith.
And I'm Galen Belinsky.
And we hope you're going to have a great time unpacking all of the 31 letters and this introduction. So let's dig right in. Galen, who's C.S. Lewis?
Yes, yeah, so C.S. Lewis, a very prolific Christian author. And really, really a great mind. He's one of those guys that overlaps between being an author and also being a little bit of a philosopher. So just the way he approaches life, it's like he sees the world a little bit differently, and has was very gifted with an ability to explain it. So he has a lot of really, really classic books in the Christian world. Mere Christianity is kind of one of the pillars of modern Christianity. The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe,
right?
A classic. It's a fictional novel, but it's also an allegory. It's telling the story of Jesus and the end times through a story of this, this mythical land. It's very much like Tolkien,
right?
And Tolkien and C.S. Lewis were very good friends.
Oh wow! I didn't know that. Wow.
They had a lot of influence on each other's writing.
And the amazing part is, I think there's 1,000 C.S. Lewis quotes that are used all the time. The guy is someone who has left the legacy that I think we would all dream to have in life.
Sure, sure.
If people don't know the Screwtape Letters, written probably in the late 30s, was published in 1942, especially during tumultuous times, the world's at war.
Yeah.
He's living in England. They're being bombed. They're moving away to the countryside. They're trying to get out of the big cities. I grew up in Coventry, a place that was heavily bombed during the Second World War, second outside of London. Has a really famous cathedral that Hitler purposely destroyed. And kind of interesting that they sort of had a pact, the Germans and the British, not to destroy each other's churches and cathedrals.
Oh, really?
And the bombing of Coventry Cathedral sort of broke that.
Wow.
Yeah. And, wow. You see a lot of... Not that their precision bombing was that good, but they really did make an effort to do that.
To destroy the Christian spaces.
And it was a sort of a turning point in the firebombing of England. It was an amazing book written in that time. So you'll hear in the stories references to, things of nearly 80 years ago. So
lot of references to war. You can tell the time in which it was written and the context.
Sure. Yeah, which again paints great pictures as well. So, why was it written?
So he doesn't explicitly say necessarily, but it's pretty obvious when you read the book. The reason he wrote this book is to try to give us some insight into how the demonic realm works.
Right.
He's trying to kind of pull back the curtain for us to see how do the devil and his minions, how do they operate? What are their strategies? And how do they kind of pull us away from our calling? So he writes this book to really just kind of pull Satan from darkness into the light so that we can see him for what he is. And it does it in a very, very unique and entertaining way. Again, he was a very gifted and prolific writer. So this book is, the reason it's such a classic is because it does expose the tactics of the enemy really clearly, but the manner in which he does it writing a series of letters is very engaging and really challenges your thinking.
Now, you noted earlier that there's a couple of introduction phrases that talk about this being inspired. And I think he even uses the term, I won't disclose how I got this information.
I'll read it real quick. He says right at the very preface, the first words in the book, I have no intention of explaining how the correspondence, which I now offer to the public, fell into my hands.
Brilliant. Right.
It's like, you got me hooked right off the bat.
I know. And that's just phenomenal. And I read it and I felt that it was inspired. So the why behind it, I really love that. So, let's dig in.
Again, kind of the big point is to just give us a glimpse of how the supernatural realm works and how the unseen realm is operating, specifically on the evil, demonic side, to come against the children of God and to pull us away is really the big thing.
Do you think he also intimates in there that there are going to be people who don't believe in the demonic realm or don't believe in another realm, people who are very, everything's empirical, has to be seen, touched, felt to be believed? And
actually, 100%. He actually mentions... early on in his introduction, in the prologue, he talks about kind of people falling into the trap of being on one extreme or the other.
Right.
It's what he calls the materialistic or the magical. So materialistic are the people who are engaged too much in the physical realm and in the world in which we live, only knowing what they can see and touch and experience, kind of that superficiality and not believing anything exists other than what we can see and do and touch. It's kind of that simplistic lifestyle. And then on the other side of the spectrum, we talked about the magical.
Right.
And that's those people that would look and see a spiritual dynamic behind
everything.
Exactly. Kind of over to an extreme. So I think C.S. Lewis is kind of trying to address and challenge people on both ends. And even as he writes the letters, even identifies the enemy being quite happy with people erring on both sides, because the enemy can kind of throw you off the path regardless
of whose extreme you're on.
Yeah.
Right. And look, I love it because it's such a relatable story. He talks and gives realistic, real world examples from the demonic perspective that we can use to help make better lives for ourselves. So he talks about mockery, right? He talks about, demons hate being mocked and using that as a way of being able to combat the enemy, or the enemy from the other perspective, because we'll get into it in a minute, that the way this book is written, he writes it from the perspective of the enemy being God. Being
right.
Jesus.
Yeah, because
right.
the whole world in which this, the whole context in which this book is taking place, the whole world in which we're kind of peering into is that demonic world where the enemy is God. So the good guy is the enemy.
Right.
And anything that's evil is actually good. So you almost have to reverse it in your mind. Whenever he talks about evil, he's talking about like virtue and goodness. It's the evil that they're doing.
Well, especially if you're a Christian, right? And you hear that
right.
at church.
Well, anyone should
like,
agree.
It's the enemy. Cognitive dissonance.
Right.
You know,
yeah, you got to switch into your brain. Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Now, you had a great point about mockery and its use within the Bible. Give us that.
Yeah. So he writes that kind of the reason he writes this book is talked about demons hate to be mocked. And I think part of it is, yes, it's that common definition of mocking, laughing and jeering and poking fun at somebody. But more than anything, it's kind of like pulling people out and letting them be exposed for what they are. Mocking would be making fun of people's characteristics in a bad way. But when you mock the demons, you're making fun of the characteristics that they're trying to hide so that you don't know about. And I think this is really a lot of how you should properly deal with the demonic. And I think this is even what Jesus did. There's the example in where Jesus cast the demons into the pigs. It's in Matthew, it's in Luke. And Jesus called them by name. He asked them, what is your name? And it said, son of God, you're coming to torment us. And Jesus wasn't coming to cast them into hell forever, but they knew what they were getting away with by tormenting that man and possessing that man, they weren't going to get away with anymore because Jesus was coming. He was calling them out. He was going to pull them into the light. He called them by name and ended up casting them into the pigs. And that form of mockery, it's kind of what C.S. Lewis is doing. He's saying, hey, I know your playbook, and now I'm going to show your playbook.
I'm going to use it against you.
There's nothing they hate more than being exposed. Call them out for what they are, and it's what he calls mocking them.
But now, you were telling me about James Lindsay earlier as well. Give us something relatable to that.
Yeah, I was talking to a friend of mine that was in town for a conference a little bit ago, and he brought James Lindsay by and had a good conversation with him. And he's a prolific author that talks about combating critical theory and how that's being worked out in the schools and in social engineering at a national level all across the world, especially the way it works out in Marxism. And he's a brilliant, prolific author. You should check him out. James Lindsay, he's got a ton of books. He just came out with a book last week or 2 weeks ago called The Queering of the American Child, I think it is, or something like that. Really brilliant guy. But he's unpacking how these Marxists and these people that are trying to engineer society for evil are doing it behind the scenes. They're the puppet masters pulling the strings, and it's very intentional how they've engineered society. They've gotten into the school systems, and he traces all this, and he says that these people are—they're just evil. Now he's not a Christian. Interesting guy. He doesn't claim to know the Lord, but he just talks about the ideas and how they work themselves out in the world. And he says these Marxists and these communists—they hate nothing more than being exposed for what they are.
And that's a great relatability to the Screwtape Letters, because the demons in the same way, they don't want to be exposed. They want to be able to hide behind their tasks and behind the ways they torment us.
You almost even think of it, it's literally like secret communication in a military. You know, it's a coded language, and when one military cracks the code and can break the communication, all of a sudden, boom, the cat's out of the bag. You can see how they're operating. You can plan accordingly. And that's exactly what he's trying to do, is pull them out and mock them in the process. And they hate it. They hate it because they have nothing. They have nothing good to fight for. They're not for anything. They're just against you.
He talks about the chief demon in the book, Screwtape, as being a liar. And don't believe it. Even everything that is said in there. Now, I listened to this and read it, and I felt it was inspired, and I thought this was brilliant, as if to say as well that even with it being inspired, there's probably a lot of lies in there as
right.
well, which is fantastic. So let's set people up with the characters. Chief Devil, Screwtape.
You want to take Screwtape?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. So old English. the whole idea of Screwtape is, it comes from the idea of undoing the seal on alcohol, an old gin and old whiskey bottles. There'd be basically a tape that you would actually unscrew to access the alcohol.
And in the same way you have a bottle sealed, like if you open a cleaner bottle of cleaning agent or something, it has that little piece of paper on top. Yeah, that little tape.
To hold it. And so the whole idea is that he's relating it to that. Now, there was talk that, you know, his brother was an alcoholic and there was something relational within there. But it's a great name. It doesn't appear in the Bible. But the second character, which I'd love you to cover, Wormwood.
Yeah. So basically the whole book consists of two main characters, the person writing the letters and the person receiving. So Screwtape is like
Chief Demon.
Chief Demon, Uncle Demon. He's big brother training little brother. He's a higher up in the military, Screwtape, and he's training Wormwood, who's kind of the new kid on the block, or think of it as the guy in the military that just got out of boot camp.
The private.
He's just trying to figure things out. And really interesting names, Screwtape and Wormwood. But Wormwood, I think he gets this from Scripture. It's found in, you mentioned it's found in Deuteronomy.
It's found in Deuteronomy under the same idea of bitterness. And bitter wood, and then you found it in Genesis, in Revelation.
Yeah, in Revelation. And the funny thing is, I literally just stumbled upon it the other day, and we've been talking about getting together to do this, and I found it was in Revelation 8, and the context is basically The angel blows a trumpet and a spirit falls from heaven. It says a great star, and it said a spirit came, and the name of the third star was Wormwood, and a third of the waters became Wormwood, and many people died from the water because it had been made bitter. So the idea is like a spirit falls from heaven and falls on people, and it brings death and bitterness by poisoning the water. It's literally... demon trying to train little demon. Here's how you go poison the water wells.
And when you think about that point in Revelation where the world's turning in the wrong direction, the idea of bitterness is infected a huge part of the world and a huge part of the waters of the world.
It's terribly demonic.
Right.
Bitterness is demonic.
At its core, for sure.
Nasty stuff.
So then he also talks, and Screwtape will talk about the patient. And the patient, to our listeners, is going to be the target of the demon. Now, the patient is actually a British man, in this instance, who is going about his everyday life, and they see an opportunity there to turn him towards the dark side.
So you'll constantly see Screwtape mentoring Wormwood how to handle your patient. It's his assignment. The patient is Wormwood's assignment to go, pull the levers of his mind and tempt him here and there and things like that. Yeah.
And then, as we said, the enemy. From this point of view, it's talking from the demonic, so the enemy becomes God and Jesus. And you take that into consideration when you listen to this, because as we were noting earlier, if you're someone who lives a religious life, you'll hear the enemy and the other way around. So just to set yourself straight on that. So we have some asks of listeners. We want to make this interactive. We want to make you part of this. During the unpacking of the different letters, you're going to hear us talk about certain instances that relate to modern day life, to things that you'll see, to things that you'll experience. And we want you to use this as a moment for self-reflection. We want you to share it with others. You may be in book groups, you may be in church groups, you may just be in a group of guys or girls who just get together to talk. And everyone has challenges. And a lot of the times, your challenges can be found as being demonic forces playing a part in your life.
Yeah. And I think it's interesting. This book was written quite a long time ago.
Yep.
Written in the 30s, published in the 40s. But he's speaking to things that are just common to the human condition and common to the human experience. So you'll find a lot of things that he's trying to unpack to explain how Wormwood should tempt his patient this way, or thwart him from walking with the enemy, walking with the Lord, by tempting him into this or that. And it has a lot of corollaries to modern day. So as you find those things, point them out.
Yeah.
Chat through them. Share them with a friend. I think you can really make the book come alive. What I love doing, it's why I love being a Christian and doing ministry, is seeing Bible. Good pastor says the Bible is not an old book; it's an eternal book.
Right.
It's the same truths, and you're gonna see a lot of these things in the Screwtape letters show a lot of relevance and probably good guidance and advice to your life.
You think about biblically with temptation, you've got the temptations of Christ. You've got the temptations of King David with
It's real.
The woman he goes after, and it's throughout the Bible. Starts in Genesis, temptation, and goes forever. So this is, again, it's an eternal subject. So engage yourselves, engage your friends, start conversations about it, and I guarantee it'll have a positive effect on your life. To support brilliant authors, buy a copy of the book.
Get it. It's a cheap book, and it's a very easy read. It's a total of 31 letters, and probably an average of 3 to 5 pages per letter. They're not very long, so each chapter, each letter, is an easy read. It's also on Audible. You can get a Audible copy very easily.
Yeah, I love John Cleese from Monty Python's narration of it. I think the whole idea that it's satire, and we have someone who's very funny narrating it, is brilliant, and he does an amazing
job. He's got the British accent along with
the
era.
Which takes you back. It does take you back, for sure. Yeah.
I also think it's good to remember. This, like I said, it's a classic book in the Christian world, but it's not scripture.
Right.
And C.S. Lewis even alludes to the fact that he did feel probably a little bit inspired and had a lot of good insight. And I think we should receive it as really phenomenal advice. But even says, well, even some of the things that I say are true in the book might be lies. That's how the devil can work. And it's good to remember the difference between scripture. Scripture is the word of God. It's
yes.
the word from God. We take it as authority. We can bank on it. This is a really phenomenal book. And I do think it's a book that is, it's better than just good advice. It really has some profound insight that can change your thinking in a healthy way. But it's good to remember it's not scripture. So it has a lot of good things to offer, but we're not going to equate it to the Bible.
No, of course not. And to wrap it, this is a great way to see what the devil's doing in your life. See the way demonic forces are working in different degrees in your life and in your family's life. And it's a chance for you to wake up, eyes wide open, and you never know. You may be able to shake those demons from your world and end up in a better place. And that's our goal from this, is inspire you to have a positive change in your life. So dig into the first episode of the Screwtape Letters, Confronting Evil in Our Time.